We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the previous lesson. Paul is telling us difficult times will come near the end of the age or the dispensation, and he talks about the various sins that people will pursue, and they'll get worse and more corrupt. So now he's dealing in verse 6, for among these type of people, well, first, the verse before is very good. People should listen to it, but they don't because they think everybody's a Christian because they go to church. But it says they hold a form of godliness. They go to church, they do good things, and they believe certain truths. It says, but they deny the power of it. They don't believe you can live holy and righteously before God. And so they make up doctrines, greasy grace, and God's going to overlook everything, and it's God's grace anyway, but we do not see that in Scripture. Sound doctrine teaches you have to live holy. You have to be holy, and your conduct must be that way. Or as Hebrews says, for without holiness, no man will see the Lord. So if people don't live in holy conduct and serve the Lord and be good, morally good, righteous before him, they will not make it into the kingdom. But the majority of professing Christians are in that category. Much more people that name the Lord are false Christians than there are true Christians today. It's getting darker and darker. It'll be as the time of Noah and Lot. Well, we see there were one person saved each time by his own righteousness. Means he obeyed God in the covenant. He didn't claim God's grace and I can live as I please. So they deny the power of the Holy Spirit in Christ to dwell in a person and be the helper to help them overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. We cannot do this or be spiritual in ourselves to satisfy God. We have a corrupt nature we have to deal with that's leaning towards sin and can be tempted and has its own drawings, and we have to overcome them and deny them. And Jesus talked about, and the apostles, we have to overcome. So they didn't talk about you've already overcome. John only says that about those who are walking in the present with the Lord. But he didn't say they overcame their whole life. He wouldn't talk about the future. And so Jesus, when he talked to the seven churches, each one of them, he gave promises. And then he said, if you overcome, this is what you get. Well, he was talking to Christians, sound Christians, along with all other forms and misguided people. But he said, unless you overcome, you'll not make it. See, so we got these false doctrines. It's all God's grace, and just confess Jesus and Lord will find a way, and he loves us unconditionally. These are perverted scriptures taken out of context and not truthful. God tells us we're on a pilgrimage. We have to prove our loyalty while we live here, and he gives us the grace and weapons to do this and helps us. But the branch must bear fruit, spiritual fruit. It must have spiritual works. And it must have obedience. That's a man's part to yield to. And if they don't, Jesus said, the Father will cut you off from me. He's the vine, we're the branches, and there can be no fruit apart from Christ, and there can be no fruit apart from us. We have to join with the Lord and work with him. Scripture says we're workers together with him. We have to yield to him. There is no irresistible grace. There's no God intervening in our sins unless we repent and deal with them. The scriptures don't apply if you don't meet the conditions of the word. So I like the part in it says they deny its power. Well, that's most Christians. They think their ritual, going to church, give a little bit of money, that's going to save them. And then the rest of the week, they live their lives the way they want to. Well, they're going to be surprised. Because all of their good deeds are acceptable to God. An evil tree does not produce good fruit. They can't do good things, spiritual things, without the help of the Holy Spirit. And he's not going to do anything without the person yielding and submitting to him. So people need to understand that God is faithful to his side, and he expects men to be faithful to their side. So when he tells them to obey and yield, that's within man's capability, especially the Christian. He gives them the power. He said, sin shall not have dominion over you. It means it will not make you rule, make you do what it wants to do, and you can resist the impulses of evil. Paul says, put it down, put it off. So we have a responsibility to exercise the will, because that's who we are, and say yes and no to him. And God doesn't override these things. And so we have a will to do what? We confess Jesus as Lord when we first come to him, and we confess him by our living the Christian life. And he doesn't do that. We do the confessing. He helps us to believe. We believe, but he helps us in all these things. When we repent, turn from the sinful life, we do that with his help. But God does not repent for us. He does not believe for us. He gives us what's needed, and we have to yield to it and submit to it with the help of the Holy Spirit. So they deny the true power of Christianity, and he says something, avoid such men as these. So he's talking about teachers also and ministers that mingle. They're false shepherds, as most of them are today. And we're not supposed to be having a Christian fellowship with them. Well, most of the churches are that way. So we have to be very careful not to be drawn into their falseness. And we definitely cannot fellowship with the things they're doing and the things they're believing. And we cannot condone their actions simply because they say they're a Christian. We don't have to accept that. We leave things alone. When you're with a person long enough, hours and days, and you'll figure out if they're Christian or not. Many people think, well, we don't know what a person's heart is. Well, the Lord said you do. What's in the heart comes out. So ultimately, there's going to be fruit. You're going to see the lifestyle. Oh, this person is a good moral person. He does good. He tries to serve the Lord. And so we see the fruit. But then we have many people that live like the world. They're immoral, but they go to church and they think they're Christians. And they think we're supposed to go along with it and say it's okay. But we can't. And that's why the true Christian will get persecution and be separated from by religious people. We'll be fanatics. The word fanatic means a fan. So if you're not a fan, a fanatic of Jesus, you're not making it a kingdom. See? Now, I've talked to people, you know, I don't mind being religious, I just don't want to be a fanatic. I said, well, you won't make it in the kingdom because you don't want to be mocked. You don't want people disliking you and displeasing with. So you give in to your family, your friends, your job, but you can pay the price one day because you're bought with a price if you're a Christian and you're owned. And you're the love slave of Christ. And as far as duty, he demands obedience. Or he says, don't call me Lord, Lord. Why would you call me Lord if you're not going to do what I tell you? So people need to get practical. But they're not capable often because they're given over to lying spirits because they don't want the truth. And you resist the truth and keep resisting it, the Lord will send lying spirits. There are no spiritual vacuums. And Christianity is not mental assent to Scripture. Scripture often says God has to give us wisdom and understanding and open our minds. Well, the Pharisees didn't get it. But the people that listened to John the Baptist, they repented and prepared themselves. And so when the Lord came, they recognized Jesus. They had no problem accepting him. The scribes and Pharisees, because they were in sins and they were not repentant and they didn't repent, they couldn't see who Jesus was, and God hid it from them. He wasn't interested in them knowing these things until they repented and dealt with their sins. And it still works today. So we have multitudes of people saying, Lord, Lord, but they're not Christians. God doesn't accept them. And their lifestyle shows they're not, because they're wicked, immoral, adulterous generation, materialistic. You're watching, that's their lifestyle. Well, that's the fruit they're bearing. And they can claim all of the mental assent, and it ain't going to do them a bit of good. Because again, when God at Christ judges them, they're going to say, Lord, Lord. They think he's their Lord. He died on a cross. He rose again. They confess him. That don't make them Christians. That's only a part of the gospel. They have to follow him and obey him. And they don't do that. Nor do they submit to the sound word of God. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. You were never a Christian. And they're going to be shocked. And they're going to talk about all the good things they did. They gave and did this and preached the gospel. And he never answers it, because he already knows an evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Everything they did in the flesh. They didn't do it with the help of the Holy Spirit, because he doesn't live in them like he's supposed to. And so they accumulate all these things and think that'll help them at the day of judgment. It will not be measured. Their evil will be judged, and their good will simply be less evil judged, but there's no credit for it. See, because they don't do anything spiritual without the Lord's help. They cannot do that. They cannot do spiritual things, because it comes from God's help. But they think it'll measure, and I'll do a little bit of good, this, and that'll make up for my faults. Well, it doesn't work that way. And they're going to find that out at Judgment Day. And many will stand speechless. See, once they have the knowledge, and God's going to open their minds and hearts, they won't be able to be lied to by the devil or themselves. They'll see the truth, because God's going to make sure they do. And they're going to see the evil they were and how they opposed God. And the scripture says they'll stand speechless. See, they won't have no defense. They won't be able to say anything. And then God will pronounce the consequences of their evil lives and where they're going. So that's what's going to happen. So man has a form of godliness. Men love to be religious. 2/3 or more of Americans go to some forms of churches, and very few of them are Christians. But they like religion. They like tradition. They're raised in it. They like ceremonies. They like all kinds of things like that. But the Lord is saying, but your heart's far from me. You're not mine. So that's what sin does. When people do not submit to the Holy Spirit and listen to what he's saying, the truth, then they'll be given over to lying spirits. And this is going to become worse and worse as the age closes. So we avoid such men. It means we can't avoid people that we work with and in society, but we don't have intimate fellowship with them, and we don't make them our buddies, because people today think you can. But Paul says, what fellowship has light with darkness? What fellowship has Christ with the devil? So we cannot enter in to an intimate relationship with people like that, false Christians, people who claim to be Christians, and we know they're living in gross sins. We shouldn't eat with them. We shouldn't. We can eat with sinners at times and socialize under certain conditions, but we can't join in their sins. But Paul is very plain. If the person claims to be a Christian, you don't even eat with them. It means you don't socialize with them. You're showing them that God is not pleased. And how can you have fellowship and friendship if they're God's enemies? That's what he's saying. Okay? Now, verse 6, for among them, he's naming degrees and various sins, are those who enter into households and they captivate weak women weighed down with sins and led by their various impulses. He's talking about the traveling ministers. Many back then, like Paul, they traveled and evangelized. And when they got into a certain Christian's area, mature Christians would put them up and give them hospitality and feed them the time they were there. They didn't have big church buildings or motels for them, so they understood their duty to support those who were trying to proclaim the gospel and going around. Well, then you had the false teachers, and the Judaizers would do the same thing, and many people fall for this, and they were not to help them. And so it was usually the mature women in the household that opened their homes up because their husband's out trying to make a living to take care of them, but they worked that out, okay? So these false teachers and Christians, they go into the houses of women in general, claiming to be Christians, and these women gave hospitality, and because they're supposed to be godly travelers and teachers and ministers. And the women, like I say, were usually ran the house, and the husbands were usually off making a living. But, you know, they opened their home and served them and fed them and gave them a place to stay while they were out teaching and proclaiming while they're with them for that period of time. Okay. But it was usually mature Christians that did this. The novices and beginners and those who mingled with Christians and thought they were Christians, they had not really matured. Some of them were not saved. They were unspiritual. So they would do this because they were attracted. Today, this applies to men and women. Back then, the women were not as, they did not have the power openly in governments and churches. Today, they rule everything. And so the same sins can apply to them. They were unspiritual, and they would think these men were godly, and they would appear to be godly, even the deceptive ones, and they would be turned on by them, and then their romance and their mind starts working like that, women of the world, and the men were in a position to take advantage of them, and that's what was happening. So they were not sound. They were easily led astray into immoral sins, being seduced by the false teachers that were traveling. They could be drawn back into the perverse lifestyle that they came out of because many of them were not sound Christians. They not got rooted. They weren't listened, but they liked to hang around and they liked to give lip service and think they were okay. But this is why it happened to them. They were sound Christians, they'd pick up on these things. But often, they didn't do that, okay? It ain't changed today. It just takes different forms. The corrupt nature, there's nothing new about it. Verse 7. They're always learning. Now, this could be the teachers and the silly women and people listening to them. Always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You know that. You've met many people. They want to go to Bible studies. They want to study this. They study that. But you never see no change in their lifestyle. They live just the way they always lived. But they want information and intellect. Some of the Corinthians were like that. And God is not interested in giving wisdom and spiritual understanding to frivolous people. So a person can study the Bible and be a brilliant scholar. It will not make him spiritual. It'll make him more responsible for certain things he's not doing when it makes him aware of it. But God gives wisdom and understanding, and we need to understand this. Jesus and Luke, when he appeared after resurrection, he walked with a couple of the disciples of the 70 that were there, and he disguised himself somehow, or mentally did something, but he talked with them, and they were all disappointed because Christ had been killed, and they thought he was going to come and be king. And he started giving them the scripture of the law and the prophets and reminded them of what Jesus had been teaching them. And then he disappeared. And they recognized it was him at the last minute and said, "Did not our hearts burn?" Because Luke says he opened their understanding so they could comprehend these things. Well, they've been taught it for 3.5 years, but they weren't remembering something. And then the Lord open their spiritual understanding, because the Spirit was going to enter them and deal with them a different. All of a sudden, they saw these things. So the people of the world can study the Bible all they want. It's not going to make them spiritual. It's not going to add one spiritual. That's why they come out of seminaries and people say cemetery spiritual. They don't learn nothing spiritual. They learn the slant of their denomination, which is in conflict with the Word of God. Their book of order and church rules take precedent over God's Word. And Jesus told the Pharisees, you lay aside the word of God for your traditions. He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? It's rhetorical. You can't. You cannot alter God's word for your traditions and what you want to hear. And that's going on today. Also, okay, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Well, there's a reason. It ain't that they don't study. Spend hours studying various things, scriptural things, but they don't have spiritual understanding. So it appears so that also the silly women and weak souls who are part of those who are ever learning, not only are the teachers in that category because they're false, but the ones listening to them. Jesus had an interesting statement. Peter said, you've offended the Pharisees, because they challenged his teaching, and he called them what they were. And he said, leave them alone, for if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. Jesus' response was, deceived people need to be deceived, and false teachers don't need to be enlightened, because they're wicked. And until they repent and turn, he's not interested in giving them spiritual truths. And if people keep following them, they deserve to be deceived. So you don't feel sorry for people who sat in a church for 10 or 20 years, and then someone could teach a little bit, and then they say, well, I never knew that. Because you never applied yourself and studied Scripture, or God would have enlightened you. You thought it was all, well, you know, I didn't have a good teacher. And I can see why you don't. You didn't apply yourself, so maybe God decided you don't deserve one. So that's what I tell people. See, they're not going to be excused. They're not going to stand before the Lord and say, well, they didn't tell me that. They're still going to be dealt with. Because he's going to say, well, I didn't know that. And he's going to say, you should have sought God and found out. So you're responsible. So a lot of people don't want to hear the truth, because they think somehow they won't have to answer. But God judged motive and intent. And he'll judge right in and say, well, but you love darkness better than light, and you didn't want to come to the light. And if the truth was given to you, you already showed you weren't interested. So he's not going to excuse them. Those that not know the master's truth and failed him, it says, they will be beaten with fewer stripes. But they're still going to be beaten and punished. And those who knew the master's will and didn't do it, they will be many stripes. Accountability. They're going to answer to the Lord for these things. Okay. So they cannot come to the knowledge of the truth, not because they're not studying the Bible or listening mentally. Why? Because they still engage in sins of impurity and sins of wicked pleasures, and they do not repent. Oh, many of them confess Jesus and confess belief. I've seen them do it and give out tracts. Just read these five verses and you'll be a Christian. Well, that's foolishness. And one of them is often, confess the Lord with your heart, with your mouth, and believe, and you're a Christian. That's the only part. That's not the all gospel. And if you haven't repented and submitted to the Lord and you're still in your sins, that confession don't help you one iota. See, they don't teach that. False teachers don't teach that. Now, they say this prayer and you've sealed and saved forever. Well, it's doctrines of the devil, and he succeeds in what he's doing, okay? So they do not repent, but they can believe mentally in who Christ is and Christian doctrine. They believe he's the Lord, and he rose to heaven and died for the sins of the world, and they think he died for their sin. And that's why they're saying, Lord, Lord. They're shocked when he says, I'm not your Lord. Really shocked and speechless, okay? They do not come out from among those lifestyles, so they get no grace and power to overcome and live holy. So it's up here. They deny this power. So if they do, they can't be a Christian. It's the power to overcome sin and follow the Lord. And Christians do not have to live in gross sin. They do not have to be wicked. They're required not to. And God gives them the power to say no. And if they don't, they're responsible and they'll not stay a Christian long. Okay? The teachers feed on these desires of weak Christians, and they join in and seduce one another to gratify one another's lusts. Because, see, they've not repented. They've not really come out of the world. They mentally said something, but nothing happened. There was no true repentance. You don't hear repentance today. Many people say, and the false teachers, well, Paul didn't preach repentance, he preached confession. Well, then he was a false apostle and he was a liar. But there's one scripture when Jesus appears to him and he said, go forth and preach repentance and remission of sins. So he didn't do his job then. He's a false apostle. He most certainly did preach. Because see, when he preached believing, it was understood more clearly then. If you confess Jesus, you followed him. What lip service? Because being a Christian was not popular, and it was unpopular and caused more trouble for you. So if you were going to confess and be baptized openly in the public, you're saying something. So it was, again, why call him Lord, Lord, if you're not going to obey him? And that's what they believed. But nowadays, they split the word, unrightly divide it, to justify the way they live and what they want to believe. So I've seen this and we see this. They do not overcome and they're not living a holy life. Sound doctrine, sound teaching, the main purpose is to lead to godliness. Any other kind, if you're getting information and intellect and studying the Bible and you're not living right, you should close that book and never open it again until you're ready to repent. Because all you're going to do is add judgment to yourself on judgment day. Okay? So we've seen this, and it's getting darker now. So the teacher feeds on the lustful desires of the women and others, and they give in. They have their sexual times, and they all do it under the guise as being good Christians. I've seen past teachers and believers of once saved, always saved, they think they have a license to sin. So they confess Jesus, go to church, and they're still living in adultery, fornication. They're still living their own life, but they claim to be Christians. And they will say, because they've said it to me, and I've had to correct them when they don't want to hear it, they'll say, Christ is, he's not the Lord of my life, because they know he's not in charge of them, because they're doing what they want to do. But they say, but he's my Savior. See, they think there's a separation. He saved me by his blood and his grace. And so if I die, I won't get no rewards, but at least I'm saved. Multitudes believe that. And when they're cast into the lake of fire, they're going to see it wasn't true. That's why it's going to be a lot of weeping and mourning besides the torment of hell, how stupid they were and how gullible, and that they deserved it. Because they didn't want to follow the Lord or serve him. And by the way, when you read the epistles, Christ the Savior is mentioned directly maybe 20 times. Christ as Lord is mentioned over 400 times. What do you think the Lord's trying to tell people? As soon as people were saved, came to the Lord, and Paul would say, if you continue, you are, and Christ said, you are my disciples indeed. So he didn't separate being a Savior and a believer, being a disciple and a believer. There is no separation. Soon as a person's born again and regenerated, he's began to be discipled. He'll be saved the whole time as he stays and is being discipled. As he continues with the Lord, Christ is a Savior. And if he ceases doing that, the branch is cut off from the vine, okay? So people don't need false assurances. Eternity is a long time, especially if you're under the wrath of God. It's going to be a long time. Okay. So they're ever learning. They're fighting spiritual things. And then he gives an example, 8, just as Jannes and Jambres, I think it's pronounced, they opposed Moses and Aaron when they went to tell the Pharaoh to let the people go. And they produced the sign the Lord told them to give them. And then these were magicians, and they imitated some of them. And I believe they used some demonic activity, and they did see something. And they made snakes crawl on the ground. And then Aaron threw his rod down, and God turned into a snake and ate every one of them. He was showing them what was real and what was false, who had the power. And Pharaoh would waver, give in a little bit, and then he'd because they kept convincing him, don't give in. Don't let these slaves go. They're our workforce. And so Moses and Aaron went a couple of times to deal, and those are the type of people they had to deal with, okay? So they helped persuade Pharaoh to resist the truth, and he hardened himself to God, and they have to share in that. They would counter what Moses would say, and because he had not repented and he wouldn't give in to God, God hardened him. He has the right to do that. He said, oh, you don't want the truth? So he let his lying magicians convince him not to let him go, and therefore God would have to judge him. So that's how the false teachers are. They misrepresent God for their own benefits and for their own sins. Okay. Now, these people Paul was dealing with, they were believers, they said, but they not only were false, but some of them were Judaizers, Jews who claimed to be Christians, but they were mixed and they were not sound. And some of them purposely were trying to undermine Paul's teachings and Christianity. So their motive was really wicked. Some believed in Jesus to a degree, but they were still bound by the law. And they would say, well, you accept Jesus and you're saved, but you still have to be circumcised and keep the law. So they were sort of talking out of both sides of their mouth. And so these are the things that Paul wouldn't put up with. So they were opposed in his apostolic authority, for they were depraved and deprived of truth. And they were under the power of demons at times. See, because they were still in their sins, God didn't deliver them. He didn't give them the truth. He didn't want them knowing the truth. See, people have a hard time with that. But Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven. You've hid these things from the wise and intellectual and revealed it to the simple. He did not want the Pharisees knowing the truth because they were still in their sins. They were still in their wickedness and they wouldn't repent. So we weren't going to give them anything. And so he said, you'll die in your sins because you cannot believe. He said, search the scriptures, they speak of me. And when they tried to search the scriptures of the law, and they knew a lot of the law, the Holy Spirit didn't give them understanding. And the devil would block it, and he would give them lies. But the common people that sat under John, they readily received him. Like I say, 6 of his 12 apostles came from John the Baptist. They immediately recognized who he was, okay? So these have been tried, in a sense, by the apostolic truth, and they were rejected as being base metal. They were using the term how you refine gold and silver and certain metals and how you separate the false. Anything that wasn't a pure metal, was the heat would separate them. The gold and certain metals would float to the top, and the silver and base of stuff would lay at the bottom. And it was said that it was understood in the Old Testament when they refined silver often, and the Lord used that a lot, the word being refined, a Christian, the Jew under the law, they'd say they would do it several times until the silver rose, and then the silver became so clear like a mirror, they could see their reflection in it. And it said that's what God was after. He was refining people, and he is today that he can see Christ in them. then he can see something different, and that's what he's working on. They'll partakers of the divine nature, that they will be holy. A lot of people don't like that word. You know, they don't look, well, Jesus said, be holy as my Father is holy. So if you're not holy, you're not going to make it into the kingdom. Okay, very plain and simple. So in verse 9, but they will not make any further progress, not in their own lives and not in their teaching. They'll not convince people the truth. They'll lead people astray, the same type that Jesus said, leave them alone. They want to believe this, and they've been reproved apostolic teaching, and they keep rejecting it. Don't mess with them. He said, leave them alone. They'll both fall in a ditch. See, they're both held responsible, and God is not interested in dealing with them. He's not sitting there wringing his hand, begging people to get saved so they won't go to hell. That's rarely mentioned. Hell is just a consequence of what's going to happen to wicked people. But the preaching of hell is not to get everybody saved, because people get tired of it and they get hardened and they don't want to hear that. So you don't hear it that often. Oh, Paul will talk a lot about God's wrath if you go into wickedness, but he didn't feel necessary to at every sermon to tell people they're going to hell or warn them. But they knew. And he said, well, you got to follow the truth. You don't have to be warned as much. You recognize that and keep that in its proper place. You have nothing to fear from hell or judgment if you're following the Lord. But you need to be warned, because the corrupt nature will drag you back, and people are backsliding, real Christians, and falling away in these. So we need to keep that always before us. Paul said he stayed in one area, and he said he didn't cease day or night with tears. He's preaching to Christians, he got saved, warning them, he said, day and night. What warning them? These were Christians too, wanting them to stay with the Lord and fight the spiritual warfare and overcome and stay with him, or you won't make it into the kingdom. That's what he was warning them. He didn't say, say this prayer and you're saved forever, and God's grace keeps you, and now you don't have to worry anymore. These are lying spirits. Let's go ahead and take a break.